Paul wrote a lot of letters, not just to Timothy, but to clusters of Christians meeting in house churches in many places. And so that text also was taken from the words of Paul as he wrote to the Romans. According to Paul, there are two kinds of life. One kind involves bitter argument, dissension, and slander. It evokes envy and suspicion. It is characterized ultimately by ruin and destruction. Fortunately, Paul does present an alternative. The other kind of life involves generosity, kindness, good works. It evokes respect and self-discipline. It is characterized by joyful contentment and peace. When he writes to Timothy, Paul encourages this budding young leader of the church to turn away from the ruinous kind of life and toward a life lived fully in the light and the love of God. Paul closes one of his letters to Timothy with these words, and I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 19. And so we know because he's writing to Timothy, he's addressing, when he addresses in the male form, he wrote this way because he's writing to Timothy. But when we hear it today, we're going to hear it to all of us. So as for you, man of God, woman of God, shun false teaching and greed. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be all honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good works, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Have you ever been told to get a life? This phrase from popular culture indicates that somehow on some level, we all know that there's some stuff worth spending your time and energy on, and other stuff that maybe is so trivial or insignificant, so meaningless or mean-spirited, so secondhand as to not be worthy of being considered real life. Usually in common usage, the suggestion to get a life is kind of tossed off without too much in-depth thought or consideration, and sometimes it simply reflects differences in opinion about what's fun or enjoyable or interesting. Paul, however, suggests that we could all benefit from a full awareness of what constitutes a life that really is life. He believes that the source and the end of real, substantive, meaningful life is God. And his words to Timothy actually apply to all of us. Taking hold of full, rich, joyful life with God is a deliberate decision made every day, requiring faith, tenacity, courage, humility, an appreciation that all good gifts come ultimately from God. Paul has experienced a life that is so real that it seems to him to be infused with eternity. And he wants all those that he loves and cares for to know the same joy. His words invite us into an adventure of discovery in which ease is not guaranteed, but a vibrant sense of aliveness and the confidence that we are sharing in God's creative work is the reward. When Paul talks about eternal life, he does not mean a life that begins sometime in the distant future or is only open to us after we die. His understanding is that eternal life begins right here and right now when we recognize that our lives can be powerfully joined to God's life, which is dedicated to nothing less than the salvation of the world. And we start fighting the good fight. We start engaging the contest with honor. We don't have to wait to start enjoying God's presence. We can begin right now. We can begin to dedicate ourselves in this moment to God's purposes and feel God's grace supporting us. If Paul had written his communication perhaps in the form of a song rather than a letter, maybe he would have written, stand up for Jesus, and concluded with the promise, to those who vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. Or perhaps he would have written a tune to express the Wesleyan commitment of self, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Or maybe the hymn that we sang just last Sunday meant to lead by example. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Or, most closely reflecting Paul's exact vocabulary, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, thy great name we praise. A majestic message which goes on to affirm, to all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. Each of these songs and so many others like them contain pointers, directions, signposts toward the life that really is life. They seek to stir the spirit and inspire the heart and mind, which really was Paul's intention as well. Paul wanted the recipients of his message, which today is us, to know the same joy and the fulfillment that he has known. He wants to help his listeners avoid the devastating consequences of insulated, self-serving choices. The life that really is life is lived by clinging fiercely to God's grace and God's goodness and sharing freely of oneself with others. Paul's done his best to light the fire in those who would serve God so that we want to run toward this life that matches God's purposes and give ourselves to the great cause of healing and restoring the world. Every week, those who sing with our church choir strive to ignite that same fire. They offered their time and their talent so that we might be inspired through their gift of music to once again choose in favor of a faithful and joyful life in God. This morning, Lewis and Aaron and Karen have prepared a song called I Surrender, which invites us to share fully in God's mercy and love.
I know, Lord, your plan for me is right. And I need you to fulfill your purpose in my life. I submit to you, my King. Be my everything. I'm coming to you again. Lord, here I am. I surrender, I surrender, Lord, I surrender my life, give it all to you, I surrender.
Ministry is not only to sing about the life that really is life and the God who makes such a life possible for us, but their ministry also focuses on putting into practice what they sing about. They not only sing together, they also care for one another in Christ-like ways, thus helping one another to know that God's love is real. As someone who has been upheld by this ministry of mutual care, Brenda Best is going to talk briefly about what it means to her to be part of a group like this one.
Good morning, everyone. I have always loved to sing. It's been one of my bailiwicks, so to speak. I came to PDUMC about 17 years ago with my partner. We came to a funeral. I guess we were right on the cusp of calling them celebrations of life. And everyone here wrapped us in a warm, loving embrace and held on to us. And I'm so glad you did. Even as a little child, I loved singing. I would, march around the house and bellow out Onward Christian Soldiers, and I'm sure that my parents were just delighted that we lived so far out in the country that no one had really probably heard me except for them. But I enjoyed myself greatly. When I came here and was able to become a part of your community and the community of our choir, it was wonderful for me. It's a wonderful ministry, and again, this part of the church wrapped their loving arms around me, took me in, loved me, supported me, held me up, stood by me in tough times, and celebrated with me in the good times. And I'm very, very fortunate to be a part of them. We just don't meet on Thursdays and Sundays, although those are one of our favorite times to come here and minister to you and share what God has given us. But we celebrate together in all kinds of ways together, and we enjoy one another immensely. They are a real family to me, and they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They are my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you very, very much. You are so, so important to me. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and I am very, very lucky. Thank you so very much.
Brenda is a breast cancer survivor, and so she knows what she's talking about when she makes reference to tough times. Like all of us, she has had those harrowing moments, and she has come out of them all knowing that God's love is a solid rock which cannot fail us. Troubles are real, but so is God's power for life. Glorious God, because our lives are held in your life, we are able to keep singing. We sing of your goodness, your peace, and your strength always present to us. We are grateful for those who teach us to sing and those who help us to sing. We are so glad, Lord, that we don't have to sing alone or pray alone, especially when we consider all that needs saving and salvaging in our lives and in this world. With gratitude today, we join our voices with our brothers and sisters to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.